Hello, this is Amory Starr reporting from Cancun, Mexico, from the 5th WTO ministerial and protests of the same. And today I'm very excited to report that the WTO meetings have collapsed entirely. And in this report I will tell you how that happened and why. The first thing to understand about why and how it collapsed is that the WTO meetings are run according to a process called consensus. But what that process actually looks like is that the most powerful countries, primarily the EU, the US, and sometimes Canada is included, write out a text, which they then pressure the developing nations, third world nations, and all the other nations to accept. And this process is called bullying. And one of the first thing that we saw, let's see, about 2 days ago on the 12th, is that the delegates had to replace their identification tags hang on a ribbon around their neck. And they had started to replace the delegate ribbon with a ribbon that said explicit consensus in 9 or 10 languages, indicating that they were resisting the bullying process and demanding a change in the process so that they wouldn't be bullied into consensus. They could, which the consensus had to be participatory. The second thing that happened very strongly from the beginning of these meetings was that the issue of agriculture was first and foremost, and everybody knew this. The United States opening press conference with the United States Trade Representative Golic and was held jointly with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Secretary of Agriculture. And so it was very clear that everyone knew that agriculture was going to be the issue. The WTO had actually been pushing this through the meetings in Sacramento, which were sort of another forum to pressure third world countries into accepting biotechnology and to moving forward with the United States Division of Agriculture. And right from the beginning, there was resistance to this within the meetings in the form of the Group of 21, which expanded, we heard yesterday, to the Group of 32 nations, which were proposing an alternative to the United States vision of the agriculture agreement. They proposed a text, and they were not at all happy with the lack of response that came from the United States, but they were very, and the EU, but they were very happy to gain an incredible amount of attention from the press, from other countries, international attention around their text on agriculture, which served them far better. So as of yesterday, the talks were on the rocks. There was a deadlock over agriculture, and it was well known that the talks would not move forward without anything happening on agriculture. What happened today was a bit of a surprise, because as of yesterday, there was information that the United States and the EU were pressuring for several more days of negotiation, and that the third world countries were resisting us because it would be very expensive for them to continue to stay and house all their delegations and change their tickets and so forth. So people were expecting negotiations to continue all night tonight, and perhaps there would be a press conference in the morning announcing the failure of the meeting. People did not think the meetings were going to succeed, really, although, you know, people suppressed their optimism about that because at these meetings before, sometimes there's a lot of bullying at the end and something gets pulled off at the last minute. So no one really expected much to happen today, but I just had this hunch that I wanted to be in the press center this afternoon and walked in the door. And as I was walking in the door of the press center at the convention center where the WTO meetings are being held, there are video crews running across the room, and there's this huge crush, actually, in the cafeteria. Somehow, these delegates had just emerged from what's called a green room meeting, which are these small, exclusive bullying sessions where U.S. and EU try to make deals and manipulate countries into doing what they want them to do on these texts that they've written. So some delegates had just emerged from this green room meeting into the cafeteria somehow, and they were being crushed with media, and it actually... You know, we're all running around trying to hear and trying to find out what's happening, trying to find one of the delegates who's speaking language. So eventually we sorted ourselves out by language, clustered around various delegates who had come out of the meeting. And the first news we got was that Kenya had walked out of this meeting. Well, it turned out that the meeting was not on agriculture. It was on what are called the new issues or the Singapore issues. These are the agreements on services, the agreements on government procurement, and the agreements on investment. The investment agreement is similar to what people may know as the MAI that was defeated a few years ago. These agreements are really about giving corporations the right to do business, to write a business plan, make an investment, and that countries are just not allowed to really control who they buy for in their government procurement. They're not allowed to control who provides electricity and water services. All of that would have to be privatized and sold off to the highest bidder. And also, investment through third world countries really try to play a role in controlling the nature of investments in order to control their own method of development. And this would have really taken away all of their ability, the investment agreement would take away all of their ability to control that. And we hadn't really heard much about services and investments in the first few days of this meeting. We'd really only been hearing about agriculture and kind of assumed those things weren't being talked about. But apparently, in this green room meeting today, what happened is that the G21, who were already in alliance about agriculture, along with the ACP, which is the African, Caribbean, and Pacific countries, most of them, as well as the Africa group, and India and Malaysia, were very firm in absolutely refusing to move forward on the new issues, the Singapore issues, and they basically said it's not happening. And Kenya may have been the first to physically walk out of the meeting, but very shortly it was clear that a great number of countries are refusing to move forward on those issues, and that the U.S. and the EU are saying that's, you know, bottom line, you have to be willing to launch negotiations on these issues. The countries said they wouldn't, and the talks were over. So at about 4:30, this news gets out, and very quickly some of the NGOs, particularly Walden Bello, representatives of NGOs Walden Bello, Anuradha Mittal spoke first. Walden Bello is with the Focus on the Global South, and Lori Wallace, Republic Citizen, were in the press center, and they have had, you know, three times as many press around them as have even been around the delegates, and they're making announcements. Let me just tell you a few things that they said. Anuradha Mittal said this is a slap in the face for the EU and the U.S. The developing countries do not agree to be colonized. Walden Bello said whether the WTO will survive this, I doubt. Two failed ministerials are hard to survive. So he's predicting that this could very well spell the end of the WTO, which is very, very exciting. Shortly after those statements were made, cheers and jubilation start to just spread throughout the press center, which is, of course, full of NGOs and delegates and press, whooping and cheering and dancing and embracing. It was really an air of jubilation even there, which, you know, they weren't officially the protesters, but many people there, including the European delegations, understood that something was wrong, seriously wrong with these agreements, and everyone was very, very excited. There was a lot of cheering and celebrating as the video monitors finally turned on to the announcements being made. The G21 had a press conference at about 4:30. And people all throughout the press center and in the room where it was happening were cheering and clapping. All of the G21 ministers had huge smiles on their faces. It was very hard to see any sad face in those meetings. And there was dancing, there was singing. Someone had written a song quite quickly, and the NGOs issued many press releases right there, right away in there. The news here back here in town in Cancun is nosotros. My Spanish is so rusty here. Nosotros ganamos. We won. Nosotros ganamos. So people are thrilled here. There's a party cooking up. I suspect that we will go again to the site where Li Qiang took his life on behalf of farmers around the world, wearing a sign around his neck saying WTO kills farmers. He's the Korean farmer organizer, 56 years old, who took his life in the tradition of political suicide on the 10th, alongside the march of campesinos from Mexico. Thousands of 10,000 or so campesinos came from Mexico, and also a large Korean delegation and farmers from all over the world. And so I think we will be probably marching again tonight to the location, which is now a shrine for him, and where people have put graffiti all over the entire. It's a kind of an intersection, but it's also a roundabout for cars, and it has a name, the Plaza something, but everywhere where it says Plaza, whatever it is, it's been crossed out and renamed Plaza Lee. So I think we'll be going there again tonight. Everyone is embracing here in town. We're very excited. It's really a great victory for the developing country to begin to both be in solidarity with each other, which really had not emerged to this degree before, but also to say quite strongly to the U.S. and the EU that they're going to define their own agendas for development. They're not going to be colonized by multinational corporations, and they're not going to be bullied and frightened into collaborating with U.S. and EU agendas, which are often manipulating the poor in the name of corporate profit. So there's wonderful road signs, of course, all over the place here, because there's a lot of security and there are a lot of checkpoints that have been set up specifically for WTO. They have the WTO logo on them. And one of the signs, which have the WTO logo, traffic signs with the WTO logo, says, "Auto Total," in order to be searched by the police. Stop completely. So here in Cancun, it's also Total back to the WTO. Stop completely. It's over. We're very happy.
Thanks for that report, Amory. How's the weather today?
Oh, it's been extremely hot. I've never experienced this level of heat. It's just incredible. We have not yet had a major rain and thunderstorm today, so that's good. The campsites are dry today.
When is your plane back tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
What time of day?
Right. I leave here at 6 p.m. something.
Okay. I will be in Valley View by then.
Uh-huh.
And I'll check my messages as, you know, the latest I have cell coverage. But I may miss your actual exit.
Okay. Well, there's been very little police activity here. It's interesting. There seem to be some stereotypes of Mexico being a much more violent and out-of-control police state. But here, the cops aren't wearing guns. They're not arresting people. They're not coming around from the behind of marches. They're not tear-gassing innocent bystanders. It's been very... very civilized here in terms of the police behavior, so we're not really frightened that anything's going to happen tonight.
Good.
And there has been, as far as I know, very, very, very little property crime and attacks on business. I believe one business was attacked in sort of a celebratory way, but it's been very, very focused on celebrating Li Qiang and being in solidarity with the farm workers, and it's all been very calm. Everyone's been very calm here, except when the very focused, concerted, organized, well-equipped assaults have been made on the fence.
By chance, I haven't had a chance to read anything or anything at all. Have there been any communiques from, for example, the Zapatistas?
Yes, there was a communique several days ago, which was read here. The interesting thing is that there have been, on several days, rumors that there was going to be a Zapatista delegation arriving, and at times there were rumors of the arrival in several different locations at the same time, and of course the Zapatistas have not arrived, but they are here in their mythology, apparently, in their mythical... Their characteristically mythical face is here in rumors. We expect them to arrive by boat at any moment. They're also here, I think, in a very interesting way, which is that they have taught people around the world so much. They've taught us, we are all Marcos. They've taught us a lot about international solidarity. They've taught us a lot about language. They've taught us about masks. They've taught us about solidarity. So what's really interesting to see is that I think they are here. I think they are here in the autonomous encampments in which people are caring for each other and running their own lives. They're here in a lot of the young, dreadlocked kids from the north who are, you can see the pride on their faces that they're wearing now a Korean bandana and that they acted in solidarity with the Koreans and they've learned about a struggle that they may not have even known about a week ago, the incredible Korean struggle. And so I think the Zapatistas are here in many ways. And immediately, the same day that Lee Kyan took his life, there appeared graffiti, Yo Soy Lee, and We Are All Lee. I am Lee and We Are All Lee, which is an immediate reflection of the Zapatista conception that we are all fighting the struggle of our heroes. And we are all embodying and conceptualizing in not only sympathetic, but also imaginative way how to be this struggle, how to live this struggle.
I know in this time is probably not the best time to get this kind of information, but I'm wondering if the next meeting that's relevant to Mexico and the U.S. is in Miami in November, the FTAA meeting.
Yes.
I wonder if there's been any discussion or feelings or speculation.
Well, right now the activists are quite dispersed. I mean, the mode here has been to party at night, every night. And so there's a party heating up here. I believe the internationals are having a debriefing meeting of the direct action kind of folk. I don't know what they're going to do after that. They may do another action, for all I know. But I think right now people are really still absorbing the information. It was a bit of a surprise. I think people had high hopes that the meetings would collapse over the agriculture issue, but people were also very worried that somehow the U.S. and the EU were going to bully and pull something off. So I think right now the feeling really people are just absorbing the significance of this and the significance of the end of the WTO and what that means for our struggle. So I don't know quite yet if people in the streets are yet thinking of the significance for Miami, the struggle against the FTAA. I think it will definitely, we're leaving here with incredible momentum, and I think that's going to show in Miami for sure. I think that people are going to be very confident and empowered and fired up for Miami to really bury this idea of free trade. It's really, I think, going to be done after Miami. The WTO is very significant, but the alternative to the WTO in the eyes of those who pursue these policies, the advocates of free trade policies, the alternative to the WTO is all these regional agreements, which will accomplish the same thing for the multinational corporations. So I think they're going to be forging ahead, seeking these regional agreements. I think we're going to see a lot of propaganda, perhaps even it pitched as the regional agreements are a better idea. You know, the U.S. and the EU may start promoting the regional agreements as really a better idea because they can be more participatory and democratic for the third world nations. But I think the entire activist scene, all of the opponents, or what are called here in Mexico globalofóbicos, all of the globalofóbicos are going to be so empowered coming out of this, knowing that the WTO can be defeated, so empowered by the emerging solidarity among the third world nations, which is just incredible. But I think Miami is really going to be the ultimate resting place of the whole free trade approach.
Well, it's certainly interesting that the WTO trade dispute resolution mechanisms and courts are one of the alternatives available under the FTAA as proposed. and those will no longer be available potentially.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the lack of new, I don't think that the lack of new agreements cancels the bureaucracy of the WTO promptly, because some WTO agreements do stand.
Right.
But certainly, without moving forward, without the continued consent and participation of the third world in WTO agreements, I think we're going to see that whole organization shrink and go away before too long.
Well, I can't think of anything more to ask, and I think I have some editing to do. Is there anything else you'd
Okay.
like to add?
No, we. No, that's it. We came up with a name for Miami, and now I'm not remembering it, which I'm sad about, but it's okay. We don't need it for this broadcast. Do you want me to sign off again?
Sure, I'd like that.
Right, hang on a second. Sorry, I'm just looking for something.
That's all right.
Okay. This is Amory Starr reporting from Cancun, Mexico, on the collapse of the WTO ministerial meeting. Nosotros ganamos. Viva Lee. Good night.